Morning, church. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
Good. I am delighted to be here with you. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be just for a little bit this morning. Anyway, we also, we just celebrated the birth of Kai this morning, but I'd be remiss if you didn't notice that Joseph Mose was serving up here with his son Daniel, who also was born into Christ the other night, so Friday night. So that's a new birth for us that we can celebrate. Absolutely. If there's rejoicing with the angels in heaven, we can surely applaud over something like that. So that's awesome. Also, I want just to remind you, if you are interested at all in going to Nicaragua this summer with us, there are some information packets out there. We've already got a number of people that are interested in going, but it's going to be a great opportunity for us to serve God down there, for us to meet needs that exist in that area of the world, but also for God to fill us up in a way perhaps that that hasn't happened before. So be thinking about that. I've started this series on Vision 2020 vision and being able to see clearly, and I want to continue that this morning. I want to share with you a story, though, from the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 6. It's one of my favorite stories because of what it teaches us. Let me just set the story up, and then I'll read the paragraph that I want to share with you. The story is about the prophet Elisha. And the king of Syria is trying to go war with Israel. And every time he makes a plan to go do something, the king of Israel knows about it and go ahead and it stops him. And this happens more than once or twice. And so the king of Syria calls all of his men and says, "Someone here is telling the king of Israel what we're going to plan, what we're doing." And the guy says, "No, it's none of us. It's the prophet Elisha. He knows what you're saying in your bedroom when no one else is around. And he's telling the king." And so the king of Syria is very upset. He said, "I want you to go find him." And they tell him where he's located. He's located in the city of Dothan. And here's where the story picks up, because the king is so angry at him, he wants to go get Elisha. And so he finds out he's in the city of Dothan, chapter 6 of 2 Kings, if you're there. Verse 14. "So the king of Syria sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city." That's how massive this army is. They surround the entire city. "And when the servant of the man of God," when Elisha's servant, "rises up early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Oh, alas, my master, what are we going to do?' And Elisha says this, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Wow. I don't even know Elisha stepped out onto the balcony yet. He just says, "Don't worry. We got more than they got." And if you're the servant, that seems kind of strange to you. But here's what verse 17 says. "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Wow. The reason I love that story is because it reminds me that sometimes we cannot see what God is doing. We cannot see always how God is working. We cannot always see what God is planning to do in our lives. Sometimes our vision is blinded by fear or doubt or sin or faithlessness, and it prevents us from moving forward because it's sort of like walking in the dark. You don't know what's going on. And like this young man, this servant, when God opened his eyes, he saw clearly that those horses, that army, and those chariots, they were not a problem for them anymore. Because God, as we would say, had his back. God was protecting them and taking care of them. And if you want to know the rest of the story, read it some other time. It's a great ending to that story as well. 2 weeks ago or so, I talked about this idea of having a clear vision, having 20/20 vision to see what God sees, to see God for who he truly is in all of his fullness. And to see sin for what it is. To not allow Satan to blind your eyes, to deceive you into thinking that something that is sin is actually okay and acceptable and it will not harm you at all or hurt you or pull you away from God. And to see Jesus for who he is. And to see other people that way. And finally, really to see yourself the way that God sees you. I talk to too many people who are Christians, who are children of God, who still see themselves as fallen, broken, messed up sinners who can't do anything right. That's not how God sees you. That's not how God sees us. When we strive to live for Him, when we live lives faithfully to Him, we may mess up. We're going to mess up. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us any grace, any mercy, any redemption at all anyway. I'm not trying to do it on my own, and neither are you, and we need to start seeing ourselves through those eyes. And then last week I talked about being able to have a world view that's from a biblical perspective and a Christian perspective, seeing the world with that kind of a vision, and then implementing it, living that out in our lives, and all the things that that entails for us. And today I want to talk about having this 20/20 vision, and what that means for us as God's church here at North Hills. And I talked about, named this, becoming reality, because it's fine, you have a vision. I have a vision. I've got something I see. But until I do something, until I put it into action, until I take some steps, until I put flesh and bones on that vision, it's just a vision. I want my vision, I want what I see, what God sees, I want it to become reality in my life. I want it to become reality here at North Hills Church or whatever it is that you worship on a regular basis. What does God see for us here at North Hills or the church you're at? What does 2020 look like for us? What does God see for us? Surely God has a plan and a purpose for His body of believers here or wherever you worship. And surely you are a part of that plan and that purpose. Let me share with you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. God talks about His church and His design for His church. I want to pick up in verse 11. Let me just read this. It gives you a picture of what God intends for His church to do and how it should function. Chapter 4, verse 11 and following of the book of Ephesians. And He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, or deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. That's the picture that the Apostle Paul wants us to have of God's church. And even His local church here. And so this morning, for just a few minutes, I want to ask us to think about that. I want to ask us to consider, whether it's here at North Hills or somewhere else, what God's doing, where He's leading us. Have you considered our direction for 2020? Here we are in the middle of January. Have you prayed about how God wants you to use your gifts and your talents and your resources in 2020? And you might think that this church doesn't really need you. Or wherever it is you go, you might think they could do fine without you. You would be dead wrong. Because the truth is, the church needs you. This body of believers, God's church, the Lord's church, wherever you are, it needs you. You are part of the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head of all of that. Romans 12:5 puts it this way, though we are many, we are one body, right, in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Kind of the same thing what he says here in Ephesians. We're together, we work together, we are individual members, we have different gifts that we do, but we work together so that the body can function for all that it can. And we can get up and we can come to worship every Sunday and think we're doing what God wants us to do, but He created and designed His body for a purpose and a plan. And I'm convinced, I'm fully persuaded that He has a plan for this little congregation here in the North Hills to do something for Him. And He has a direction for us. But there's another truth that's equally important. If it's true that the church needs you, it's also the truth that you need the church. There are people that think that we can be a disciple of Christ and we don't really need to worry about going to church and we don't have any need for His body at all. We can. I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not involved in the church. I don't need the church. I don't like what's going on there. But that's completely unbiblical. That's completely against why God designed the church. The fact that Jesus gave His blood for the church, that He bought the church with His own blood, tells us that He desires us to be a part of that. When you read the book of Romans chapter 12, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it reminds us that every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. And that it's significant. Because when you become disconnected to the church, the same way that you would disconnect any part of your body from the rest of your body, from your head and your mind, it would die. And the truth is, as we disconnect ourselves from the church, from the head of Jesus Christ, we will slowly die. We might not recognize it. We might not even see it. We might deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay. But I don't understand how you could possibly have a relationship with Jesus, the head of the body, and be disconnected from His body. The church needs you. You need the church. But it's not enough for me to have 2020 vision for this year. It's not to see clear. It's not enough for the elders to do that. It's not enough for a few minister leaders to have that vision. This has got to be a shared vision. It's got to be something that you see, that we all see together, and we say, man, God, this is where You want us to go. We're moving in that direction. It's got to be our vision, our mission in every way. And we have a vision here at North Hills. We have a mission. And I believe that it is a directive from God in that it's very biblical in all that it says. And as His church, we're called to be reaching, be growing, and to be planting. And in truth, it's very much like the Acts model in the book of Acts, how the church operated then. They began reaching out with the message of Jesus Christ, and then the church began to grow spiritually. They began spending time together daily, spending time fellowshipping with another, praying with each other, learning and growing and being taught. And then they began to grow numerically. As more people heard and they witnessed what that life was like and they believed, the church began to spread out. And soon, people like Paul and Barnabas began to plant new congregations, new churches all over the world. I just want us here to take a renewed look at 2020. I'm hoping we can refine and sharpen our focus for the new year. Once we can see our mission with this 2020 vision very clearly, and then we can take the steps that we need to make it become reality. Reaching comes from the idea that we used to talk about reaching in and reaching up and reaching out. And those are three vital aspects of reaching. We have a desire here at North Hills for all of our people in the church, all members of the body, to reach up to God. And so we gather in times like this of worship to exalt God, to lift Him up, and to encourage one another so that our relationships can become stronger with God. We have times where we gather together for Bible study before Sundays and on Wednesday nights, and maybe you gather with a couple other people and you spend time in prayer with those individuals through the week. All of those things that we do are efforts for us to grow spiritually, to reach up to God. And then we want to reach in. We want to be about reaching in. Reaching into our fellow members. And so we do life groups. Right? And those are opportunities for us to gather in small groups of people in geographic locations around this. See, and if you're not involved in one of those, I want to tell you, you're missing out on something. What an opportunity for us to be able to build each other up and encourage. Because things happen in life groups. Things happen in those small bodies of believers, the kind of sharing that just promotes spiritual growth. There are things that you and I would never share in a group of people this big. But in life groups, where we get to know each other, where we know our hearts, the trust level just elevates, we share those things. And we build those relationships with another. We have things like heartfelt ministries for the ladies. We've got Hold the Hill for men. We've got other kind of fellowships, activities to do, all designed to build up and encourage one another here. Reaching out. It's one of the things that we desire to do to family, to friends, to our community. Yeah, we have a ministry called Outreach Ministry, which we just strive very hard to get the word out about our church and who we are so that we can share the gospel with people. And this year, with 2020, we've committed to do an outreach surge so that we can reach our community. But that's not the only kind of outreach. We have all kinds of activities attached to that. But there's outreach that happens in your neighborhood, where it is you live, with your own family. Those are opportunities for you to reach out. We want to be committed to doing that because it's exactly what happened. When those people became Christians in the New Testament, the book of Acts chapter 2, they were so excited. They were on fire that they discovered who Jesus Christ really was. And because of the way they lived their lives and what they're going on, the people were just coming to them and they were converting people. And people were being saved because of that. I want us to have that same vibrancy, that same energy in all that we do. We need to be about reaching up and reaching out and reaching in. And I don't know where you are involved in this. Maybe you say, well, you know, I need to be involved in that. I want to be about that. I'm really struggling in my reaching up to God. I haven't opened the Bible in a long time, or I haven't hung out with people very long, and I'm struggling in that. Maybe this year, maybe 2020 is the year that you look at that differently. Because I believe the great mandate in Matthew 28, 19, 20, that we call the Great Commission, is still valid for us. Right? Go into all and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. So that applies to us still. And we do that by allowing people into our lives, by letting them see who we are. And striving to reach up to God so that our spiritual lives are visible. And hopefully all of that reaching up, that reaching in, that reaching out, hopefully all of that leads to us growing. Because that's what we pledge to do. But this isn't just growing numerically. And sometimes we think of that. The first thing that has to happen, if anything else is going to happen, is that we grow spiritually. And I think that all of those other things that we do lead us to that. As we surround ourselves with the body of Christ, as you hang out with the body of Christ throughout the week and you strengthen and you encourage other people, and as you commit yourself to Jesus Christ, to living like Him and being imitators of God, and as you allow, and as I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me in my life, to make decisions that are in keeping with Him, keeping in step with Him, spiritual growth is a natural outcome of that. Now that's not to say that it's always easy for me to let the Holy Spirit lead me. That's not to say it's always easy for me to imitate Christ in the presence of a world that really goes against me. That's the hard work. But when you put that work in, when you make every effort, like Peter said in 1 Peter, that we make every effort to add to our faith, all these different characteristics, we make that effort to do that, the outcome is spiritual growth. And you will find yourself next year, 2021, and 2025, and 2030, you will find yourself more deeply committed relationship with God. You will find yourself in a stronger place with Him. Your faith will become more and more advanced. But the second way that we hope to grow because of that is that we will grow numerically. Because as Paul points out, and he's just talking to the Corinthian church, and they've got a bunch of problems, but he's just making the observation that, you know, if we're faithful to plant and to water, then God is faithful to give the growth. We leave that to Him. Right? I'm not responsible for how people respond. I can reach out to them with the love of Christ and share the message of the gospel and tell them what they're missing. And I just say, God, I'm doing what you called me to do. And God is faithful to do what He does. He can't help but and He can't help but do anything else except for be faithful. That's who He is. So we reach and we grow, and hopefully that results in us planting. Planting, we're talking about planting a church in a nearby location, somewhere relatively close, but far enough away that gives us another community of people to draw from. Opening up a whole new community to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His life-saving grace. But I also want you to consider that all of the reaching that we're doing here and all of the growing spiritually that we're doing here is not, even if we don't plant another church somewhere else in this location in the next 2 or 3 years or whatever, it's not for naught. Because we have people who come here and maybe they're converted here, maybe they come here, and maybe they worship with us for 10 months or for 10 years, and then God calls them someplace else, and we have sent out from here people who are strengthened and encouraged in their relationship with God. And they're going to go somewhere else, and they're going to have an impact on the church or a body of believers there, or maybe in a place where there is no church. And we will have done what God calls us to do. To me, that's another aspect of the idea of planting in all of that. It's our aim to help you and I grow as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, as much as possible. So here's the question. Here's the becoming reality. How do we get there from here? 2020 can just be another year. Like 2019, like 2018, it can just be another year. You can be satisfied with where you are. But I'm convinced God never intended me to be satisfied where I am. I'm way far ahead of where I was in 1985. But I'm not satisfied where I am now. I still got more to do. God still has a bigger plan. So how do we get... Here's my challenge for you. First, will you and your family begin to pray faithfully for your role in this church, this congregation, or the church that you're coming from? Will you begin to pray, you and your family, faithfully for your role? Ask the hard questions. Am I holding back from the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God's giving to me? Am I hindering God's body here by my lack of participation? And if so, what's causing me to do that? Why am I doing that? Am I upset at something or something, someone that's done something? Am I afraid? Am I tired? Am I too busy? Am I uninterested? Fill in the response. Because I think if we seek God's wisdom in this, He'll say, I've got a place for you. I've got something I need you to do in this church to help it function to its fullest. But if we don't pray about it, if we don't ask the questions, we'll be comfortable doing what we're doing. We'll be comfortable exactly where we are. Secondly, will you pray for the leaders of this church? For the shepherds that we have? for the ministry leaders, is that they understand, just like Elisha's servant understood when his eyes were open, that there are so many good things to do here and to be a part of. But we want all that we do to result in the fact that God is the one glorified, not our church. I don't need our church's name to be in the paper. I just want people to see this family of believers and give glory to God for what we're doing. Because when that happens, Jesus Christ will become recognized. And when He becomes recognized, you can't help but respond to the way so many people responded in the book of Acts when they found out who Jesus really was. So pray faithfully for you and your family to find out what your role is. Pray for the leaders of this church. And thirdly, take action. Do something. Something that moves this church toward our mission of reaching and growing and planting. What excites you? Where's your strength? Where's there a need in this church? What do you enjoy? What is God calling you to? For your own sake. For the sake of the church and for the sake of other people who are looking at you. And perhaps taking their cue from you. Maybe now, maybe right now, but maybe the next generation. Because I don't want us to simply see the church here in 2020. I want us to envision what this church is going to look like in 2050. Because what we do today in 2020 puts us on the path to the church that our children will be leading in 2050. What do you want to give them? What do you want to leave with them? I think God's church here at North Hills has an incredible future. We are so blessed with people who are servants of God and are talented and gifted in so many ways. So many opportunities to expand God's kingdom and to glorify God in this little part of the world. I just want you to catch that vision. See with that eyesight. Seek out God and what He can do. And as you look with the eyes of your heart, what do you see? Can you see God's place for you here? Bible studies, life groups, Hold the Hill, women's ministry, outreach, missions, worship, evangelism, facilities. Whatever it is, there's lots of ministries that we have going on here that God wants to use to grow His church. I'm just asking you to, challenging you to seek out and find out what it is that you could do to help this church be what God desires it to be. Let me close with these words with you from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And it's words that we often use to encourage an individual. But these words are written to the church as a whole. When he says this in chapter 1 and verse 6, I am sure, Paul says, I am confident that He who began a good work in you, church, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. I am sure, North Hills, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. What a great vote of confidence. What a great perspective to have in all things. That's my challenge for us as we head into 2020 as a body of believers here. Don't sit back and just let it cruise through. Find out what you can do. Find out why you're not responding maybe the way that you need to respond. Find out what God's role is for you. And I recognize that most of us in here have chosen to become a part of God's body. We have been put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into Him, and now here we are involved in a relationship with God. But I also recognize that even when we do that, we sometimes struggle. Sometimes our relationship goes on highs and lows, and it's not founded so solidly on the love of God that never wavers, and we have struggles, and that's okay. That's going to happen in our lives. That's why when we're walking together, each of us can pick each other up when the other one's down. If you want us to pray about something this morning, something's going on in your life that you're wrestling with, we can do that. You don't have to say what it is. But that's why we're here as a body of believers. But if you're not even in a relationship with God, you're not a part of the body, sadly to say. Because Jesus Christ, in order to create the body, had to die on a cross and to pay for that. But He made it so easy for all of us to accept the free gift. And Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 3. He says, in Christ we are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Wow. It's so simple. We accept God's gift of grace. And through faith we're baptized into Christ. And He transforms us into His family, into His body, fills us with His Spirit. And you can do that this morning. If you need to respond in that way, we're going to sing this song. If you need to respond in any way, I ask you to stand and come down front as we sing this song this morning. But please, whatever you do this morning, begin today listening to those challenges and rising up to them and asking yourself, what can I do to help see the vision that God has for this church in 2020? Let's stand together.